I'm going to be preaching to you today on the insights into the pastor's heart, or into the heart of the pastor. Let me tell you how this message came about. Normally, on a typical week, I'll study throughout the week, and of course I'm always studying, but I'll start studying specifically, seeking God on what He wants me to preach on. Usually about Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, somewhere in there, God will put it up on my heart what He wants me to preach on. This week, I sat down, literally just opened up my book, my Bible to the book of Exodus, didn't even look at any scriptures. I mean, I just got it open, and all these thoughts started flooding my mind. And I was writing them down as fast as I could write them down, because I'm a firm believer when God gives you something, it's your responsibility to make sure you retain it. God gave me this entire message within like 5 to 8 minutes. I hadn't looked at a scripture, and every message I get, I know is from God. But when it comes like this, folks, I have absolutely no doubt that this is from God. And it is unusual. I want to give you a couple of preliminaries up front. I am going to be saying some things about the pastor today. It doesn't matter if it's me or anybody, any other pastor. I am not trying to put the pastor up on a pedestal, nor am I trying to make it a gripe session. It is not intended to be either one of those. If that's what you hear, please understand, that is definitely not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to simply give you some insight into the heart of the pastor. And I do know, without any shadow of a doubt, that not a one of you here is going to completely understand this message. You may say, well, Brother Greg, how do you know that? Well, I actually thought I knew the heart of our pastor, Brother Glenn, because I worked side by side with that man for 18 years. I thought I knew what he was going through. I thought I knew the anguish and the turmoil that was going on in his heart at different times. But until I actually became a pastor, I did not fully understand. So I understand right up front that you will not completely understand, but you will understand your portion and your part in this when we finish. And what I'm going to preach on today is not a big problem here at Centerpoint. I praise the Lord for that. But on the other side of that coin, it's something that should never, ever even be an issue. I'm going to be reading today in Exodus chapter 5, verses 21 through 23. Let me give you a little bit of background as we get into that scripture. If you remember, God had called Moses, and God told Moses, I want you to go to Israel, and I want you, or to Pharaoh, and I want you to tell him to let my people Israel go. And God said, and they will be delivered. Well, after a lot of excuses and a lot of debate, Moses agreed to do that. And Moses went to Pharaoh and said, let my people go. And instead of letting the people go, Pharaoh, the Israelites were making bricks, but the Egyptians were gathering the straw for the Israelites to make the brick with. When Moses went to Pharaoh, Pharaoh said, you are now going to have to gather your own straw, and your quota of bricks is still the same. In other words, he was doubling their workload. So as you can imagine, the people were not real happy. In Exodus chapter 5, in verse 21, it says, and the people said unto Moses and Aaron, the Lord look upon you and judge you. Boy, you can tell right there, they're not happy, are they? The Lord look upon you and the Lord judge you, because you have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh. In other words, you're making us stink before Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hands to slay us. They're saying, Moses and Aaron, this cannot be from God. You have gone in and you have messed things up big time for us. Not only is Pharaoh mad, but his servants are mad at us. They are wanting to kill us. And in verse 22, Moses returned unto the Lord and said, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Moses is to the point, he's even accusing God of doing evil. And folks, God does not do evil. God never does evil to his people. So Moses was really messed up here because of what he had just been through. His emotions were all out of whack. And he says, why is it that thou hast sent me? I can tell you right now, every pastor that's ever lived asked that question about once a week. And that's nothing against the people. That's just part of having to be a pastor. Because when things aren't going right, we take it personally. And we want to know, God, you said you're going to use me. Why are you not using me? Verse 23. God's still talking to Moses, still talking to God. He says, for since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name. And he's saying, you know, he's trying to still blame God here. I came and did what you said. I'm speaking in your name. Pharaoh hath done evil to the people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. Now, folks, that's a serious situation, isn't it? But we're going to look on the backside of that here for a few minutes and really pull some things out that I want you to see. As a pastor, we invest a lot of time in prayer, in study, in seeking God, in seeking His direction. And when we know we've heard from God, we have to put those instructions into action. And that's when being a pastor becomes really interesting. Now, let me tell you what I mean by that. Brother Glenn always said, and I agree with him 100%, that you have to be thick-skinned to be a leader of a volunteer army. If you're a boss at a job, if somebody comes in and starts saying things they shouldn't say or start doing things they shouldn't say, you have some leverage. You can tell them either straighten up or find another place to work. We're in the church. We don't want to lose anybody, do we? So you have to be thick-skinned to take some of the things that come your way. You have to be full of wisdom and discretion and love to treat the people with the discretion and love that they need. Because in a voluntary army, you're not trying to get rid of people. You're trying to retain people and keep them growing. Now, looking back at this, Moses did what God instructed him to do. But it did not look like it was working. Now, that's a key phrase there. It did not look like it was working. Going back to 21, 22, and 3, 22 and 23, you can tell that the people were angry and that Moses was questioning everything going on because it did not look like it was working. And the people were very upset with Moses. Again, they said, the Lord look upon you and the Lord judge you. They were angry at Moses. Now, folks, here's something I want you to catch. And this is one of the key points of this whole message. Just because it does not look like it's working, that does not mean your pastor has missed God's direction. Just because it does not look like it's working does not mean your pastor has missed God's direction. If you go back and study the book of Exodus, we all know they went through 9 plagues. What most of us don't realize is that was over a period of months and even years. I can't determine exactly how long it was, but if you go back and read, the cattle at one point in Egypt were completely wiped out. And then you read later on that they had more cattle. That doesn't happen in a day or two. They had to either go buy the cattle, had to regrow the cows, or it was an extended period of time. So for a long period of time, it did not look like it was working. But all along, Moses was following God's leading, even when it did not look like it was working. Again, a lot of times your pastor, and again, this isn't just me. It's any pastor of any church. Your pastor prays and seeks God and hears from God and follows God's leading, but since you were not in on that conversation, that God had with him, you may not understand why he's doing what he's doing. And even worse, you may condemn him for what he's doing. That's exactly what happened to Aaron and Moses. The people were condemning them for what was going on. They said, you have made us stink before Pharaoh and his servants. They're even to the point that they want to kill us. Folks, that's being pretty full of condemnation. And again, they said, the Lord look upon you and the Lord judge you. In other words, Moses, we don't think you're doing what God told you to do. But here's the key point. Another key point. If your pastor is a godly man, you need to trust him and you need to believe that he is hearing from God. Again, even if it doesn't look like things are going the way they should be going. I can tell you from my experience of being a youth minister and an associate pastor and a pastor, most of the time things don't look like they should look. And we could get into a lot of reasons on why that is. But we don't have time to do that today. Just understand, if your pastor is a godly man, you need to trust him. And you need to believe him. And I'll go this far. If you don't trust him, don't believe him, you need to either get rid of him or you need to go somewhere else. And I'm not trying to get rid of anybody here at some point. Like I said, this is not a major point here, major issue, but this is what God's laid on my heart. But how are you going to serve under somebody you can't trust and somebody you can't believe in? If he's a godly man and the church has voted him in as the pastor, he deserves your support. Now, let me get into the part that applies to the congregation. If you are praying for your pastor, and if you're praying with him, God is going to be able to cause things happen a lot easier and a lot faster. Can you imagine how it would have gone if the nation of Israel had came to Moses and Aaron and said, okay, we believe God sent you our way. We don't know why Pharaoh is acting the way he's acting. Let's go pray about this and let's seek God together and let's get God on our side and get God moving. Wouldn't that have been so much better? Actually, what the children of Israel were doing was being destructive instead of constructive. Praying for your pastor is one of the most important things you can do in this church. Satan is after your pastor more than he's after anybody else. If he can get the pastor, he can destroy the church. And that's happened in a lot of cases. If your pastor, or let me put it this way, if you feel that your pastor is wrong, ask God to straighten him out. Ask God, say, God, I really think he's missed it. I'm asking you to guide him and to direct him. It's your job to pray for your pastor. It's God's job to correct, lead, and guide your pastor. So here's what I'm asking you to do. Pray for your pastor. When you think he's missed it, don't be judgmental. Don't condemn. Pray for him. If he's missed it, he really needs your prayers. When you think he's missed it, again, go to God and say, God, I really think he's missed it. If he has, I'm asking you to lead him and to guide him and to show him where he's wrong. You need to pray for him all the time, that he will have the spirit of understanding and the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of discretion and the spirit of love that he needs every single day. And folks, I can promise you this. Your pastor has your good at heart. I know I do. And I got to thinking about it. Every pastor that I've been under, I haven't agreed with every single one of them. But even those that I didn't agree with, I really believe they had mine and the church's goodwill at heart. How would you be a minister and want to do bad to people? How could you be a minister and have a desire in your heart to get people? Or say get, to get at people. So understand, your pastor has your good at heart. And you can do more good for your pastor and for your church and for yourself by praying than you ever could by judging and condemning. As I was thinking about this, God gave me an illustration that it really made the lights come on for me, and I hope it does for you. Remember when you were a kid and your parents would make judgment calls that you're like, why did they do that? Why did they make this decision? Or why did they say that? Or why did they do this thing? You just had no comprehension of it whatsoever. And then you grew up and you became a parent. And you're like, that's why they did it. And guess what? You were guilty of doing the same thing. That's exactly what I'm talking about here. I shared with you, while I served under Brother Glenn for 18 years, there were things I questioned that he did. There were things I didn't understand why he did. But after I became a pastor, I understand. God never asked us to understand. He asked us to follow and to be obedient and to trust in our leaders and to pray for our leaders. So simply stated, the main point is this. Support your pastor with prayer and with a follower's heart. Now, I want to give you the rest of the story. I told you God gave me this whole message in just a few minutes. Right at the end of when we were at that point, I asked God, I said, well, what's the whole point of this? You know, I kind of knew what the whole point was, but I wanted to know what the real whole point was. And God spoke to my heart, and he said, if you will study the rest of the book of Exodus, talking about chapter 6 through the end, he said, many times the nation of Israel questioned Moses, and they questioned Aaron. They questioned all these things that they did. And many, many times they were disobedient. And if they had not been disobedient, if they had trusted Moses, they would have got into the promised land. He said, and there were times that Moses questioned why he was leading. And Moses questioned, had he even heard from me? And we read that in chapter 5 there, verses 22 and 23. And then God said this. There's not a single time that I ever questioned my decision to call Moses to lead the children of Israel. Wow. Now, folks, that hit me. That may not hit you. But with everybody questioning Moses, with Moses questioning him himself, and Moses even questioning God, God said, I never questioned my decision to call Moses to deliver the nation of Israel. And over in Romans chapter 11, verse 29, it says, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. That's a strong statement. God called Moses to lead the children of Israel out. Moses did that. Of course, without going into a lot of detail, we all know it would have been a lot easier on Moses and the nation of Israel if they had just believed their leader, and more specifically, if they had believed God. If they had believed their leader and if they had believed God, they would have gone into the promised land in what? 11 days. How long did it take them? Now that's a trick question. They never got there. The original ones never got there. Isn't that a sobering thought? Their children got to go in 40 years later because they did not believe and trust their leader, and because they did not believe and trust God. Can you see how serious this is? Folks, God does not give us leaders to punish us. He didn't send me from Northwest Arkansas to Bologna to punish you. He sent me here to lead. A pastor is here for your benefit and to lead you into God's very best for you, which is what? The promised land. God wants us to live in the promised land just like He did the nation of Israel. That's why He sends us pastors. Now, this message really comes down to just two main points. Number one, you need to be praying for your pastor every single day. I promise you, your pastor needs prayer, and I can promise you nobody in this congregation knows how I need prayer more than I know how I need prayer. I can't do what God's called me to do without the prayer support of this congregation. And let me throw this in. I'm not talking about the little prayer we like to try to get away with. We try to say, oh, God bless our pastor. And God's up there going, what does that mean? He doesn't know what that means. You don't know what that means. You need to pray specifically for your pastor, that God would give him the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of discretion, the spirit of love, and that God would lead him and guide him and show him how to direct the church and how to guide the church and what he should do and what he shouldn't do and what he should preach on and what he shouldn't preach on, all these different things. Pray specifically. Pray specifically. Anytime you catch yourself saying, God bless the pastor or anybody, catch yourself and say, I can pray better than that. And when you pray better than that, you're going to get better than that. I've told you this before and I'd forgotten about it till just now. If you want a better pastor, pray for him. Your prayers will definitely make me better. And like I said, I understand that I need the prayers of the people. The second thing that this message boils down to is if he's a godly man, you need to trust him regardless of what the circumstances look like. And again, if the circumstances don't look good, that's when you need to go and say, okay, God, I believe that you sent our pastor to us, and I believe that you have spoken to him. Things don't look like they ought to look. We're bringing it to you to find out why they don't look like they ought to look. And in the case of Moses and the nation of Israel, God could have very clearly said, well, I have 9 other plagues I have to go through to get Pharaoh to turn the nation of Israel loose. They never asked. Even Moses was guilty on that part. He went to God and said, you haven't delivered them at all. Instead of saying, okay, God, what else has to happen before we get delivered? And understand, when things are not going like you think they should, understand also that your pastor is dealing with why are not things going like he thought they should. Again, Moses asked God, why have you sent me here? Why have you done evil to the nation of Israel. Why have you not delivered them at all? Folks, as a pastor, when things go bad, I promise you, I hurt as much, if not more, than anybody else in this church. Because I take this very seriously. And things are not always going to look like they should look. That's when we have to have faith in the man of God. And that's when we have to have faith in God and not be judgmental. But go to our knees and pray like we've never prayed before. When things are not going good, or I don't want to say that, when things don't look like they're going good. During that time, your pastor needs more support than any other time. I've seen churches, literally, that things were going horrible. And I mean horrible. And the church came together and started praying and started praying and started praying and seeking God. And within just a short period of time, God worked out several things that completely, totally turned those circumstances around. But without the prayers of the people, that would have never happened. So folks, it all comes down to this. I promise you, I'm going to do the best I can to seek God and to lead this church and to do what God tells me to. And I'm asking you, and again, the vast majority already do this, but I'm just asking you to even do it in a greater way, is to support me and to trust me and to believe in me that I am seeking God. And when you want to be critical, when you want to be judgmental, that's when I really need your prayers. That's when I really need your backing. Because if you think it's not going right, I'm really struggling with that. Because God, you called me here. And you told me certain things. And so far, those certain things aren't happening, just like Moses did. So I want you to understand, we're in this together. And if we all come together in prayer and do what we're supposed to, you'd be amazed at what God can do. Remember when the nation of Israel did go into the land of the promised land? Miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. How many miracles happened out in the wilderness that helped them to get to the promised land? Zero. They had a few miracles that supplied their food and their water and those kind of things, but they had nothing that helped them to get into the promised land while they're in the wilderness. But once they said, yes, God, we believe you. We believe this is our leader that you've sent us. We're going to stand behind him. We're going to do what he says. Oceans started and seas started parting. Walls started falling down. People, the enemy started killing each other where there was nobody for the nation of Israel to fight. It was amazing what God did at that point. Let's stand, and I'm going to ask Marlene to come with a song of invitation. Father, first of all, I want to thank you for the people here at the Center Point Free Will Baptist. I'm always hearing good comments and compliments on these fine folks, and truly, they are good people. And I have no doubt in my heart that you've led us here. If I ever had a doubt about that, Father, I would have never moved my family to do what we've done. And Father, you truly have blessed us. There's no doubt that you blessed us in so many ways. But Father, I don't believe that we've gone into the promised land yet. I believe that there's still greater and bigger and mightier things that you want us to accomplish to our good and to your glory. I just pray that you'd help us to unite even stronger than we ever have before, that we would unite behind the pastor, unite behind the leadership, unite in prayer in ways that we never dreamed that we could or would. And Father, we know that when we come before you in faith, believing, there's nothing impossible with you. And I just thank you, Father, again for these people. I ask you, Father, just to speak to the hearts that need spoken to this morning. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.